Hi, I'm Francesca, a registered nutritional therapist, and you're listening to another episode of the Empowered Perimenopause podcast. Welcome. My aim is to bring you down-to-earth, conversational episodes that help you develop a deeper understanding of how your body's changing in your 40s, and most importantly, how you can support yourself throughout this wonderful transitional phase of your life. Join me for my solo episodes and also episodes with guests for fun, fresh, truthful chat on all things health and happiness in your 40s. And now on to the episode. Welcome back to the show with me, your host, Francesca Liparotti, nutritional therapist and passionate guide for this powerful midlife chapter, which is exactly what this show is all about, to empower you before, in and through perimenopause. I am in the thick of it with you, being 45 at the moment, working my way through perimenopause, and I've already navigated the first, what I would call, because I started to notice changes around 40. So the first 5 years of my journey through perimenopause, and there's been all sorts of evolving going on, which I have talked about in previous episodes. But welcome today, if this is either your first episode, or maybe you're listening to them every week. And if you're before, during, after perimenopause, welcome, because everything is helpful to know. Never too early, never too late. And of course, if you're going through it like I am, then you're in the right place. So today I want to talk about something that's been bothering me for a while. And that's, I'm not sure if you've noticed, how perimenopause is often painted as being a nightmare, a really dreadful phase. There's a lot of fear, a lot of panic, a lot of doom and gloom that seems to surround every conversation about perimenopause that I have with friends, family, that I see online, that I see on Instagram. There's a lot of comedy Instagram accounts now with reels on how, like, the funny side of how awful it is, which is, of course, funny. I find them funny. You know, the funny side of the sleepless nights, the mood swings, the weight gain, the brain fog, the memory issues, just the hot flushes, whatever it might be. And yeah, like I said, whilst they're funny, and I always have a good laugh with them, it's not always the most helpful thing, because it's just sort of reinforcing that, you know, this is our lot. We're here now. If you're in your 40s, you know, well, start following all these accounts and hear about all the dreadful things, even though we're making a joke of it. It just sort of reinforces that message that it's an awful time and this is our lot. We're here now and that's it. We can't sleep. We're growing chin hairs. We're gaining weight. We're aching. Our bones are aching. Our joints are aching, and there's nothing we can do about it. And yeah, of course, let's be honest, some or all of these things do happen. I've definitely experienced most of them already. As I said, like, evolving throughout the time, and they'll rear their head again at various times, I'm sure. But the key is, you know, the fact that these hormonal shifts, they are real, they are big, they do affect us in big ways. But what I want to say is, this doesn't have to be a story of struggle. The key is knowing what you can do to support your body, your hormones through it, so that you don't have this awful experience. And that is absolutely completely possible. Perimenopause isn't a disease or a condition, nor is menopause. You know, people say, how do I diagnose menopause? Like, it's a condition or a disease. It doesn't get diagnosed. It's a very perfectly natural transition that women reach, whether they reach it naturally. You know, some women obviously are pushed into surgical or medicated menopause for various reasons, but it's still, either way, it's not a condition. It's a natural phase. Your body isn't broken. You're not falling apart. This isn't your lot. It's not just aging and I just have to deal with it. So I'd love it if we could stop framing this time in our lives with fear and dread, and we started to see it more as a turning point, a wake-up call, even like inviting us to care for ourselves in a way that we've probably never cared for ourselves before, and tuning into ourselves in a way that we've probably never tuned into ourselves before. And that's definitely my story of perimenopause so far, is that it was a wake up call. It was like, oh, okay, I can't actually get away with these things anymore. You know, what used to work doesn't necessarily work anymore. This is a whole new phase. And that was a wake up call. And tuning into myself, tuning into my needs, my wants, in, like I said, in a way that I've never done before personally until this decade. And really just seeing it as this really empowering turning point. So if you've been feeling overwhelmed by all the negativity that we do see, the dread, even the funny stuff, while it is funny, it's like, oh my God, is that what I've got to look forward to? Or, you know, yeah, we're all going through it, therefore this is it. And we're all, why would I be any different, sort of thing. So if you've been finding that all a bit overwhelming, stressful, frustrating, and you want this to be a time of enlightenment and positive change like I do, then this episode and hopefully all my episodes are for you. So it's really the truth that I want to, you know, obviously get across in all of my episodes, particularly this one, is that our body is adapting, it's transitioning. So just like in puberty, pregnancy or postpartum, these phases need a different kind of support. Hormonally, in puberty or pregnancy or postpartum, the body is going through this adaptation, this transition where hormones are acting completely different to when you were just, you know, 20s, 30s, not pregnant, finished puberty, not postpartum, and you're having, you know, everything's just ticking over. This is a different phase that needs a different kind of support. And that's what perimenopause is. It doesn't mean you have to overhaul your entire life. It doesn't mean you have to start, oh, okay, I can't drink alcohol anymore at all. I have to go to bed at 9 p.m. and wake up at 5 a.m. and jump in a cold plunge and meditate for an hour. Obviously, if you want to do those things, that's fine. That's great. But I think a lot of people, especially the sort of feedback I might get or take from conversations I either overhear or just have, is this fear of if I start going down the rabbit hole of what is happening potentially to my body during perimenopause and admitting that I am in perimenopause and transitioning through it, I'm scared of then finding out the things I might need to give up in order to feel better. And I've heard that a lot. I've heard from women who are like, you know, 45 plus, say 47, 48, and they're saying, oh, I'm probably in perimenopause. I'm like, yes, you are. Like past the late 30s, we move into the phase of perimenopause. Whether or not we start experiencing symptoms then, that's different. But you have moved into that transitional phase of perimenopause, especially after you pass 40. So, and I think, again, like a lot of those women are fearful of sort of facing that and saying, yeah, I'm perimenopausal, because they think, what do I have to start giving up? I don't want to start giving this up or doing that, you know. So there is, I do see that it's a lot of denial. And it doesn't have to be that way. It's about starting to tune in rather than just pushing through and just carrying on doing all the things that you were doing before, all the things that worked or suited you in your 20s and your earlier 30s, even late 30s. That does change when we move into our 40s. And like I said, it doesn't mean we have to give up all of these fun things that we, or things that we see are fun. You know, not everyone sees the same thing as fun, but if somebody sees their nights out boozing, for example, as fun, they might be scared that, oh, if I face up to the fact that I am in this different phase and it needs a different level of support, I have to give up these things, or it, you know, it could be something else. But it's not about that. It's about tuning in to what's going on, understanding what's going on in your body, and then tuning into that instead of just continually just pushing through. This is the biggest thing I see. I've done, I still am guilty of doing it myself, even though I'm like, I really try not to, but it's hard, you know, when life gets busy, work gets busy. We can get so caught up in life in inverted commas, that we just push and leave nothing in the tank for ourselves. No time for ourselves, no space for ourselves, no time to tune in. And we're literally just lifing. So we're just busy pushing, just trying to get through. And we might think, oh, you know, at the weekend, I'll rest or do something nice for myself or take into account how I actually feel, what I actually want. But, you know, we kind of, this is the sort of, what's the word, mentality that we need to change. Because even just that in and of itself would make a big difference to, for example, symptoms or how you're sleeping, you know, mindset, mood. It's all about making small, consistent changes that actually feel nourishing, sustainable. You want to do these things all the time and they feel supportive. So things like, yes, you know, ideally going to bed a little bit earlier, probably for the most part, not maybe lots of people have a great, you know, ideal bedtime, but for some, they might not. So getting to bed that little bit earlier, protecting your sleep like it is so sacred, because it is. It is the most important thing you can do to support yourself is protecting your sleep. And that's not to say, if I'm speaking to any, if anyone's listening to this and they are, you know, an insomniac or like they're going through that sleep disruption phase, excuse me, which I have definitely been in, and I managed to solve it, quite thankfully quickly, but it was horrible, really, really horrible. It affects absolutely everything. That domino effect is huge. I'm sure I don't need to tell you that. So if anyone's listening to this thinking, oh, you know, we keep getting told to prioritize our sleep, protect our sleep, but I can't sleep, like, you know, go to bed every night and I just keep waking up, or I take ages to fall asleep, so I'm trying to protect my sleep but I just can't, it can't happen, then obviously we're not saying you're doomed because you can't sleep. It's just, okay, you know, what are the little things that could be causing that to happen, and then where can we sort of start to support? And these tiny little things, so even aside from the sleep stuff, eating meals that stabilize your blood sugar instead of sending you on a hormonal roller coaster. That's obviously all about nourishment, providing, stabilizing blood sugar, which is the foundation. It's one of my foundational pillars of health generally, but particularly perimenopause health. So eating meals that nourish you, stabilize blood sugar, but they are also going to support sleep, for example. So it'd be, okay, let me take a step back. My sleep is awful at the moment. I've been told to prioritize my sleep. I am. Okay, well, what are the other things that you could be doing to then have a knock-on impact to your sleep? And then from there, you can continue to prioritize and protect it. Next week's episode is going to be all about food, all about nutrition, how to support your body through perimenopause with your food. So I'll get back to that next week. Things like moving your body in ways that energize and nourish your body, your muscles, your nervous system versus exhaust you. There's lots of ways we can exercise, you know, day to day that are absolutely exhausting and battering to our hormones, increasing cortisol, breaking our sort of muscle down, something known as catabolic. There's ways, you know, there's ways we can exercise that do that. And there's ways we can exercise that to do the opposite. I've talked about that on previous episodes. Again, how we move our body and exercise is one of my four foundational pillars for hormone health in perimenopause and beyond, and just supporting midlife basically, because it is so, so important. So how, what are the things that you're doing? Are you doing lots of spin classes through the week and focusing on the kind of intense cardio sessions or so-called HIIT sessions, boot campy type stuff, versus, you know, really focusing on walking a certain decent number of steps every day, preferably in nature, which is shown to be so helpful for energy, mood, sleep. And are you building muscle? Are you doing exercise that helps to support the building and maintenance of muscle mass, which we're losing quicker now than we would have been before? And that's very important to put that back. I've talked about that in a couple of weeks ago, I think. I can't remember. I think the protein episode last week for last. And, you know, do you feel energized after your workouts? Not just straight after, because it's quite common that we can do these really intense, horrible workouts and feel energized afterwards. But how do you feel later that day or the next day particularly? Because that is a sign of, you know, if you feel absolutely tanked the next day or later that day, that could, you know, suggest that that wasn't a very nourishing, a genuinely energizing workout, is actually something that broke you down, and then you feel the effects of that later or the next morning. So other things like saying no when your body and your nervous system need or want to say no, or like just screaming for rest, but you're just saying yes because someone has asked you and you don't feel that it's polite or right or normal, you know, to say no. The other thing I hear a lot, which I love, is no is a full sentence. How, you know, do we, how many of us actually just say no? Well, no, thank you. We, as typical British as well, we'll say no, because, and we have to give this long winded explanation of why we're saying no. Like, oh, are you free on Saturday night? Do you want to come over for dinner? Or, okay, you know, whatever it might be. No, because, and you'll think of something, but actually you might just want to say, no, thank you. It doesn't really suit. How about? Or, you know, or if they're asking you to do something that you don't necessarily ever want to do, instead of just putting them off, which again, so guilty of doing that, just say, to be honest, that's not really my thing, or it's not what I want to do. How about, would you be interested if we did it this way instead? And see what they say to that. And most times people will say, yeah, absolutely. So yeah, just, you know, saying no when you can really feel it. Like, you can, if you really tune into yourself, you know you don't want to say yes. But you just find it so hard to say no because you're just so intent on just pleasing that person who's asking you. So really tuning into what you need, what you want, getting off that autopilot where you just go with what other people are asking or expecting. So it's just, I really want to get that message across that perimenopause, 40 plus, which, you know, we know perimenopause starts before then, but really so much more so 40 plus, can be a time of profound empowerment. Yes, it brings change and challenge with the change in hormones, absolutely. But with that change comes the opportunity to reset, to reconnect, to realign, to really just say, right, what needs to go? What needs to come in? You get to redefine what sort of well-being and wellness looks like for you. You get to do, you get to let go of a lot of things that don't serve you anymore, that make you feel awful, that you never even really wanted to do, whether that's people pleasing, having no boundaries, trying to be perfect, you know, that perfectionism, or punishing health routines that leave you drained, but you think you've always thought you have to do that, or you have to do it that way. You get to step into a version of yourself that's wiser, it's got more clarity, and is more self-aware than ever before. That's something to celebrate. That's something I could definitely say. I am more self-aware in my 40s and the further I've moved through my 40s than ever before in my life. And I'm more confident at setting boundaries. I've never had boundaries as good as I have now. In fact, I've never had boundaries at all. And I'm more confident now than I ever was in saying what I need, want, don't want. And, you know, however that makes the other person or the other people or the thing, you know, whatever it is that I'm responding to feel, I kind of have to take that step back and say, but this is what I need. And I have to let go of that worrying about what those, you know, how, what those other people feel about what, or think about what I've asked for and not asked for. So all of this is something to celebrate. You don't have to buy into the perimenopause panic. There's so much of it, however funny some of these accounts and reels are that we see online on Instagram, it's still just painting this awful picture of being, of what life is like now that you're in your 40s and 50s. But there's so much you can do. You've got support, you know, for example, with me every step of the way, like that's what my show is all about. That's what I want it to be all about, is empowering you with knowledge, with information that you might not necessarily get elsewhere, or messages that you might not get elsewhere, which is that you can, there's so much you can do to support yourself. This gives us the opportunity to say, right, what is it health and lifestyle wise that I could be doing differently, or not doing, or, you know, inviting in or pushing away, that is going to help me feel wonderful as I move through this phase. Yes, there might be ups and downs, times where you don't feel so great and so on, but there's, you know, there's so much at hand. And that's what I hope to teach. That's what I hope my episodes so far and in the future are there to give you. So I just want to move anyone who's in that, I want to move anyone away from fear and move them to confidence, move them to clarity in what things help. So stick with me. There's so many episodes waiting for you. I hopefully fill them with practical tips, you know, nourishing strategies, science-backed stuff. It's not just being pulled off the top of my head. This is stuff that I trained as a nutritional therapist, and that was functional medicine led training for 5 years. And as part of our profession, we have to commit to a certain number of continued professional development training every single year in order to renew our license with the professional body. So I am always learning, whether we want, even if we don't have to, it's just something that we do, just consistently being offered new webinars and, you know, new science research papers to read and look at, and it's just coming at us as nutritional therapists all the time. So we are always evolving and learning, and that's what I share with you. And of course, if you want to get in touch or book a discovery call via my website or the show notes, if you want to explore working with me one-to-one or joining the Midlife Thrive membership, which is just going to be growing and growing over the next sort of year or so, But most importantly, what I want you to know and take away from this is that you're not powerless. You're not broken. Moving into your 40s is not hell on earth. It might feel that way if some of the sort of hormonal changes and symptoms are completely new to you, which was my story. And you think, what on earth is going on? Like one of my first set of symptoms was anxiety, which I never suffered with, and sleep issues. So it was weird. It's just like, you know, it was unnerving, I should say. But just that's the message I want you to take away. You're not stepping into or moving through a dreadful phase of your life. You're stepping into a new phase of strength, wisdom, deep self-care, should you want to tune into that and tune into yourself and the things that you can start doing and opening yourself up to learning what's going on and what you can do. So thanks for listening to this episode. It's a very short one, I know. I just really wanted to address this week. If this episode resonated with you, please do share it with a friend or leave a review. A 5-star rating and some review words would be amazing, because it just helps so much in getting this podcast and obviously message out to more women. That's the only way it's going to grow. So until next week, stay empowered. Listen to previous episodes if you haven't listened to all of them as yet. And as I said, next week I'm going to be talking about what to eat in your 40s and beyond. So hopefully that will empower you with the actual dietary side of things, which I'm not sure I've gone into in massive detail as yet. So hopefully this will be a good one for a lot of you. So thanks for listening, and I'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
If you found this episode helpful, then please share it with anyone else who you think could benefit. And consider leaving a rating and a review, as this will help the podcast to reach and help more people. And if you need more guidance on your own health journey, you can grab my free guide, 6 Steps to Mastering Your Hormones in Your 40s, over at francescaliparotti.com, where you can sign up for your free copy. Or you'll also find the link in the show notes.